show today. One of my guys I grew up loving. I hear more and more about him because I interview previous tough guys. They seem to be the most interesting guys out there. The current players, not too interesting, Craig. You know that. Well, maybe you don't know that, but thank you for joining my show. How are you, fellow Northern Michigander here?
Well, I appreciate you reaching out to me, John. It's always nice to talk to guys we haven't seen in a while and talk about the game that we all love.
It's funny when I first met Craig, what was it, gosh, 6, 7 years ago now in Traverse City, I didn't realize who you were until after the fact when my buddy Yosik pulled me aside. He goes, "Hey, dummy, that's Craig Cox." And I go, "Shut up, that's Craig Cox, no kidding whatsoever." Because you're just the most kindest, humblest guy ever. You would never really realize your history. So it just gives credence to you that you're just a normal dude and you have this incredible history.
Well, I mean, you played the game, and what we did, I mean, business is business, I mean, that's not what we are off the ice, but yeah, I was very fortunate to be able to play in the NHL for a little while, and loved every bit of it.
Heck yeah, you had a good, solid career. And let's just get into it because man, you're busy. You're a busy guy, but you got drafted out of Belleville. And I'm looking at your card here. How did you end up in Belleville and you were born in Chula Vista, California? Just how does that happen? A guy from California get out to Ontario?
Well, I was drafted out of St. Albert, and
Okay.
my first year in Canada, I was playing Tier 2 in St. Albert, Alberta, and my whole family on my father's side's all born and raised in Ontario. So my dad had me and my brothers on skates when we were 2 or 3 years old, and I was just one of those kids that just could never get enough of it. And so I was in a tournament. And when I was playing midgets, and somebody asked me to try out for a team in Alberta, went up there, played 1 year, got drafted, and I had the opportunity to play in either the Western League or the Ontario League, because if I'm an American, I can play in either one.
Okay.
And I always wanted to go back to where my dad grew up, and that's the reason why I picked. Belleville's, they gave me the opportunity, and my other choice in the Western League was Winnipeg, and I'm sure you've been to Winnipeg.
Yeah, no thanks.
Hey,
I think you made the right choice.
I mean, don't get me wrong, Winnipeg is a great town. I had a lot of fun there whenever we played there, but their winters I think would be a little much for a guy growing up in Southern California. But
So, how does that work? Because you go to St. Albert's, and do you get picked by Belleville or Winnipeg? Do you get drafted in both of those leagues, and you pick which team you're going to go to?
actually, what they did was is they put me on their list in Winnipeg, and then Belleville did the same thing.
Okay.
So what I can do is if I was growing up in Canada and I was in the West and Winnipeg put me on their list, I would have to get a release. But being
Yep.
an American, I can go to either league. And I called them and I told them I appreciate the offer, but I'm gonna go and play where my dad grew up. So I always wanted to go back to Ontario and play, so I had the opportunity and I jumped all over it.
And it looked like you had a good group there in Belleville. And much like every other tough guy I talked to throughout my life, you were a good hockey player. You're a point per game guy. Your last year, you had 45 games, 45 points. And then your rookie year, 41 points in 64 games. So it's not like you were a one-dimensional guy. There wasn't any kind of adjustment period, it seems like, coming from playing in Southern California, thrust into a pretty good OHL league.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it took a little bit to get used to it. I'm glad that I played a year of Tier 2
Yeah.
before I jumped into the Ontario League. I think that really helped me out, especially coming from California. We don't get to see the
Yeah.
teams that they do up in the north. So that first year in St. Albert really helped me get ready for the 2 years that I spent in Belleville.
You don't seem like a California guy. Were you a surfer? Were you like a beach bum? What like
I really wasn't. I did a little bit of surfing and all, but Don't get me wrong, I don't hate California, but it's just too crowded, you know? I mean, I had a great, childhood and stuff like that, brothers, sisters, all that kind of good stuff. I had great parents, but I just didn't fit in there, you know?
No
You know,
kidding.
I don't have blonde hair. Well, I got blonde hair now that I'm old, but I didn't have blonde hair, and I freckle and don't tan, so I just didn't. I didn't look like a regular California kid.
You're saying the skinny 6'4" pasty white guy didn't fit in
Yeah, go
California?
figure,
You fit in perfectly in Canada. That's all we got up there.
right?
So you go to Belleville, you're praying great, you get drafted by the Canucks, going up to Canada. Was that the goal to get to the NHL? Because I can't imagine playing minor hockey in California that's even on your radar.
That's growing up as a kid, that's all I ever wanted to
No
do.
kidding.
And I used to tell my dad all the time that I really want to go up and play hockey in Canada. And I mean, probably back when I was a peewee, I was talking to it about my parents saying, one day I'm going to play in the NHL. And my dad just, he played hockey his whole life. And he says, "Well, if you want to make it, you gotta work for it. It ain't gonna come to you." And he got me into working out and doing things away from the rink and trying to make yourself a better player all as much as you possibly can.
Who were your guys you looked up to? Because I think Gretzky went to the Kings late 80s. Who was your guys that you watched?
Bobby Orr,
Bobby Orr.
he was my favorite. Yeah,
No
yeah.
kidding.
I always
That's
wanted to play for Boston too. I never did, but yeah, Bobby Orr, he was my guy. I wore four all the time growing up as a kid. Yeah, he was Bobby Orr was my idol.
I can see his game and your game a lot. You guys mirrored each other very closely the way you played the game, Craig.
I appreciate that. I know that's not true, but
That's so funny. Well, hey, I liked Ray Bourque. He was my guy coming up because I was a big Bruins fan as well. And me and Ray are nothing alike. So he can't get everything you want, but that's too funny. Well, you're coming into Belleville, you get drafted by the Canucks. Gotta be exciting. Fourth round, gotta be super pumped about that. And you make the team. Kind of your first dip in the professional waters. I know you went to Fredericton, but you got a cup of coffee in Vancouver that first year.
actually they I got drafted out of St.
Out of
Albert.
St. Albert's, excuse
Yeah,
me, yeah.
and it was kind of a weird thing. I got drafted in the fourth round. I went to my very first training camp in Detroit, and they said, "We're going to keep an eye on you. You're not ready for the NHL. We need to get, stronger, faster." And I completely agreed with them. At 18 years old, I was not ready. And unfortunately, 2 years went by and Detroit never called or nothing. And it's funny because my career was almost over. And me and a buddy of mine that played on in Belleville, the season was over, and he was headed back to Toronto and I was headed back to California to get in the construction business with my family.
Is that right?
And we went over to my coach's house, Larry Mavity. Went over to have a beer with him and say thanks for the last couple of years. And he says, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I told him, and he says, "Well, how would you like a tryout in Vancouver?" And I says, "I would love one." And that's how, I mean, I
Is that
figured I was
right?
done. Yeah, that's how it all happened. Larry Mavity got me a tryout, and I end up making the team, played the first 9 games, and then they sent me down to Fredericton for the rest of the year.
And then you tore it up in Fredericton from the sounds of it. You got 242 PIMs, Craig, and 62 games. Now, when they send you down, is your sole purpose just to go down there and make a name for yourself? Because you had the cup of coffee with Vancouver. You got to be pissed you got sent down. What are you thinking? Because you're going from Vancouver all the way across the country to Fredericton. What's your mindset at this? Like you said, you're just a young kid trying to find your way.
Well, what when they sent me down, I told them, I said to the coach, I says, "I promise you, I will be back." And I knew why I was there. Even though, the majority of my career was fighting, that I love to play the game. And so when I went down there to Fredericton, I took on every tough guy that was in the league. But
Jeez.
after practice, I would stay on the ice for an extra half an hour. I mean, I was so dedicated to try and become a better hockey player because I didn't want to just fight all the time. I
Yeah.
love playing the game, and I wanted to play the game. And so that's how I spent my first couple of years is just taking on everybody, making a name for myself, and trying to improve as a hockey player.
It's funny on that team in Frederick. I was looking at the roster. There's like some Hall of Fame head coaches that you played with. There was Claude Julien and Mark Crawford, and obviously yourself, not a coach, but a well-known name. It's pretty neat to look at the guys you played with. And then going back up to Vancouver the next year, you're playing with a guy named Cam Neely, and you're getting, the taste of the NHL. Did you know? I want to talk about Cam a little bit because I'm a big Bruins guy. Could you tell that he was a stud? Because he's just still a young kid at this point.
He was actually I think a year or two younger than me, but you could see this guy had it. I mean, it was there. I mean,
Yeah.
well, unfortunately at the time in Vancouver we didn't have a really good team. I mean, we had a great bunch of guys. We worked hard, but we just
Yeah.
didn't win a whole lot of games. But you could see that the time I think I spent 2 or 3 years playing with Cam and you could see he had it, and he was just going to continue to get better and better and better. And when they traded him to Boston, he just took off, and he grabbed it and ran with it.
And you guys got Barry Peterson. He was pretty good. Like, he's coming off 2 100-point seasons. So everybody looks back at that trade and goes, oh, they got roasted and fleeced. Barry Peterson is a hell of a hockey player.
Barry Peterson's a great hockey player. It was a great person. I mean, everybody hated losing Cam,
Yeah.
but you had another great guy come in because Barry Peterson wasn't just a good hockey player. He was a great guy. He was a
Okay.
great teammate. He treated everybody really well. Like you say, when he came in, he was already an established, basically kind of superstar in the NHL, and
Yeah.
he treated everybody great. He treated me great, and he was just a really good teammate and a really good guy.
So let's just talk about your 4 years in Vancouver because you've obviously established yourself by that point, 85, 86, 86, 87. You go back down to Fredericton for a long stint. What was the reason for that second stint? Because you'd already had a full season under your belt.
You know what? It's kind of one of those things that they tell you what they want to tell you, but they don't really want to tell you the truth. I
Yeah.
mean, I had eye surgery for a detached retina
Okay.
in the summertime, and I don't know if they thought that I wasn't going to fight her anymore, or I don't know. They didn't give me a good excuse. They says, we think we want, and I asked the same question. I just says, well, I mean, I just played all year up here last year. What? I don't understand. Oh no, you're going to be back. You're going to be back. And sure enough, I never did come back the rest of that year and came back and played again the next year. And then that's when I got traded to Calgary.
Yeah, it's weird how GMs work. They throw you down there and they just forget about you. It's almost like out of sight, out of mind. So what was this detached retina? What happened there? Was that from a fight?
I think it was just all the whole year that first full year in the NHL. And I took on some big boys, and it didn't always work out so well for me,
Oof. No,
and
I've watched, but it, so you think just the wear and tear of getting hit, you get checked out at the end of the season, something's not right.
well, at the end of the at the when the season was over, I would wake up in the morning, and I could see okay, but as the day went on, I was starting to lose peripheral vision in one of my eyes.
No kidding.
And so I says, you know what? I better have this looked at. And when I went to when I told the Canucks about it, and they set me up for an appointment, and the doctor looked at my eye, and he wouldn't even let me leave the hospital. He says, we got to do surgery on this, and we've got to do it now.
No kidding.
So they put me right into the hospital and did the surgery the very next day. And
Wow.
that's when they wanted me to wear that. They wanted me to wear a shield, and I really didn't like doing that. So I did it for a while. I just take my helmet off before the fight started, I couldn't brush my hair or anything after games and stuff. So I asked them, I said, is there any way I can get away from wearing this? And they made me sign something that if I got hurt in that eye again, that I can't come after them. I says, fine, give me, just let me sign it, you know?
What do you mean you
And
couldn't
so
brush your
then,
hair? You couldn't see your hair?
no, it's because I would take my helmet off when I was wearing the shield before I would fight.
Yeah.
Well, that helmet protects your head from getting hit. And when I'm taking it off, I'm getting hit in the head. And
Oh my
at the end of the
gosh.
game, I'm trying to brush my hair and I got knots here and there. So I told him, I says, I can't keep taking that helmet off, man. I gotta leave that helmet on, you know.
That's so funny. Well, listen, I've watched your fights and I know why you were getting hit. You are the most reckless fighter I have ever seen play in the NHL. And I mean that. And I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but what did you have a style going into fighting? Because you were throwing both hands, you were doing anything you can to hit the other guy. It's amazing to watch you fight.
The way I looked at it, when I first got to Vancouver, a guy by the name of Ron DeLorme, he
Okay.
kind of took me under his wing. He had been playing in the NHL for quite a while. He was a tough guy. And he started teaching me some stuff, you know, teaching me to be able to throw with both hands, never go jumping in, stuff like that. But basically, the way I looked at it is once we get a hold of each other, let's see who's going to hit each other harder. You know, I
Oh
mean,
my
somebody's,
gosh.
I wasn't ever a guy for, trying to, I wasn't real tactical. I was
Yeah. Oh, I
basically,
can
let's just
tell.
stand back. Let's stand back and see who's going to win this. I don't say that's the best way of doing it, but that was just the way it was for me.
It's not for the faint of heart. Do you just laugh at the fights these days when you watch them? Because the guys are so nervous to get hit and they throw a million punches and barely one lands versus you. It's just like you're connecting every second punch. It's crazy.
Yeah, the game definitely has changed, that's for sure.
For the better, though, Craig. Who knows?
I really do. I mean, I tell you, just watching how good these guys are now, how fast they are. I mean, it's amazing what they can do nowadays. I mean, if I was 20 years old right now, there's no way I'd
Oh,
ever be able to
gosh.
play in the National Hockey League.
No, you wouldn't be
So
able to play on a high school team if you were 20 years old these days. Are you kidding me? They're so talented, not a chance whatsoever. But so your years in Van, the claim to fame, not you have many claims to fame, but the one that I think is cool, and we interviewed Joey Kosher a month and a half ago. And the one common thread I've talked to about all these guys I talked to, I'm like, who were the toughest guys to fight? And they always mention you and Dave Brown. And that's unequivocally across the board, Craig. So you should, pat yourself on the back for that. That one game in Detroit, two fights, two W's, game-winning goal. It was it your second year in the NHL, I think, that happened? How cool is that to be able to? So I think you're the only guy to fight those two guys in one game.
That I don't know, but I think it was I think that would have been either my third or my fourth year there.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that was the same year that I might have been the same year that I got drafted or I got traded to Calgary.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, going into that game, didn't sleep real well. That nap we always take after our pregame meal. Knowing something's probably going to happen and trying to play it in your head all through your nap. And it just, it just, I just figured, you know what? If it happens, it's going to happen. So just be ready for it. And fought Probert the first time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I knew Joey was coming because me and Joey had fought earlier a couple years before that when we both broke in pro at the same time, so we had
Yeah,
fought
you're
each other
familiar.
before, and by that time, Joey was an established tough guy in the NHL, and I had seen enough of his fights. I'm like, you know what? This is not a guy that I want to stand back and try to exchange blows with, because this guy ends guys' careers,
Yeah, he's got a hammer.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I mean, your punches have got to mean something. You got to, I aim for the chin, because I mean, you know as well as anybody, you get hit in the chin, your knees buckle,
Yep.
and that's it. And I knew I didn't want to get into a stand back with him, because at the time I was wearing the shield too. So I took my helmet off before the fight, and I'm like, you got to make these punches count, because this guy can hurt you
Oh,
bad.
and you
So.
caught him, and you did well in that fight, but you obviously had a different kind of way to approach the fight with Probert, because you go toe to toe with this guy. How cool is that? Dropping the gloves in Joe Louis Arena with Bob Probert, and you're going toe to toe with the Bob Probert.
Well, me and him had a we had one in Vancouver, I think 2 years before that,
Yep.
and it was about as long as that one in Joe Louis, except I didn't get those two I didn't get hit with those two last uppercuts at the end in the one in Vancouver, but
What? I noticed that. What are you thinking when he's feeding you those last two punches? You're kind of looking at the refs like, "Come on, boys."
yeah, because I he the way I was kind of under his arm, I
Yeah.
couldn't really get out, and I didn't want to try and jump back and just open up. And you're right, I'm looking at these guys going, are one of you guys gonna jump in here or what, man?
Your face afterwards is so funny. You're just looking there, you're gassed, and you're like, "Come on, you guys." Like, he just feeds me two punches. It's so funny. But after that game, you're probably icing up, you're probably having a beer. Do you know like how cool that was? You're still a young kid, probably 23 years old, 24. You just fought the two toughest guys in the league and you got the game winner in Detroit. Like, that's I've never done anything like that. That's insanely cool.
It really was. I mean, it because of how young I was, I didn't really think a whole lot about it, other than that's your job.
Yeah.
And it was a good night. You know, went out, had a few beers with the boys, and you know, had a good time. And yeah, it's just I was in a real good mood, I can tell you that, all night long.
Well, then why the hell do you get traded? Because you're having your best season statistically in Vancouver. You got 17 points, 64 games. You're beating up everybody. You're playing good hockey. You're battling. And then you get dealt to Vancouver. How does that happen?
I went to Calgary.
Calgary, excuse me. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, went to Calgary, and we were on the road playing in Washington, and I show up at the rink, and they tell me I'm not playing, and I'm like, what do you mean I'm not playing? And they says, well, just you know, they didn't give me a reason why.
Yeah.
So I mean, I there was me and another guy. He wasn't playing either, so. We were sitting up in the press box watching the game, and somebody says, "Hey, there's a phone call for you." So I figure somebody's playing a joke on me, you know? So I go over and I answer the phone, and it was Pat Quinn, our general manager, and he says, "We just traded you to Calgary." And I says, "Well, Mr. Quinn, are you guys upset with me? Did I do something wrong?" He says, "No, it's just a trade that we feel that is going to help us."
Sure.
And I guess they got a couple of guys for me, and it did help them. A couple of the guys that went over there played real well for Vancouver, and I wasn't great. I wasn't happy about being traded, but when I went to Calgary, it was definitely out of the four teams that I played for in the NHL, that it was the best all around team that I ever played for, not just by players. I mean, I got to play with some Hall of Famers there,
Yeah.
but their coaching staff really took an interest in me as a player, and not just me as a tough guy. They said to me, but the first day I was there, they said, "We know you know how to fight. We know when you know when you're supposed to fight. We're going to help you become a better hockey player." And that's the only team in the NHL that ever did that with me. And you know, I was so happy to be there. They, you know, in the summertime, they would call me and make sure I'm staying in shape, and they set me up with power skating
No
coaches. I
way.
mean, they really took an interest, you know. And during the season, one of the assistant coaches would take me aside in the dressing room. We'd watch videos, tell me things I'm doing right, tell me things I'm doing wrong. I mean, they really took a really interest in me. And it was a shocker that a week before training camp, I'm walking into the practice rink in Calgary, And you remember a guy by the name of Mike Bullard?
No, yeah.
Well, he playing in Calgary also, and he's sitting there talking on the payphone. So we didn't have cell phones back then, and he's sitting there talking on the payphone, and he's putting his hand up saying, "Hey, stay here, stay here." He goes, "Yeah, okay." He goes, "Well, as a matter of fact, he's standing right here." So he puts the phone on top of the payphone. He says, "They want to talk to you." Well, Mike Bullard was a bit of a comical guy. He's always pranking guys all the time.
Yeah.
And so I go, "Hello?" And he says, "Craig, this is Cliff Fletcher." And I said something that I shouldn't have said. And he goes, "Craig, this really is Cliff Fletcher." And I said, "Mr. Fletcher, I'm sorry, but you know Bully. He's always playing tricks on everybody. I thought he was playing a trick on me." And he goes, "No, he's not playing a trick on you. And we just traded you and him to St. Louis." And again, I said, "I mean, you guys just signed me to a new contract and everything. I thought I was doing well." He says, This is a trade we just could not get away. We didn't want to let it go." And that's when they got Dougie Gilmore to come over, a couple other guys, and Dougie Gilmore helped them win a Stanley
Win the
Cup.
cup that
And
year.
I was that close to winning the Stanley Cup.
No
So
kidding. You get traded with
yeah.
Mike Bullard, who just got 100 points that year.
Yeah, I would think that was either his first or his second. He got over 50 goals, had a great
Oh.
year. Yeah.
And then so you have to pack up everything and off you go to St. Louis, and it's just like, what the hell again?
Yeah,
Away you go.
that's where it all kind of went sideways.
No kidding.
Because yeah, I mean, I had spent 4 or 5 years proving myself in the NHL and also prove that I could play. I
Yeah.
mean, I'm not going to be a power play guy. I'm not going to be on the first or second line, but I'm not going to be a detriment to my team when I'm on the ice. You know, I
Yeah.
mean, I had proved that I could play both ends of the ice. And when I got to St. Louis, it was like I was a rookie again, and they basically just wanted me to sit at the end of the bench until they tapped me on the shoulder and say, "Go and get this guy." And I probably could have handled it or should have handled it maybe a little bit different, but
Yeah.
I was like, "You know what? I'm not going to keep doing this. I just spent 4 or 5 years. I mean, I've had surgeries. Who knows how many stitches I've had, and I'm not just going to go out there and just fight for you. I want to play." And so when he would tap me on the shoulder, I'd go out and play.
Oh, is
Of
that right?
course, he would get pissed off at me,
Yeah.
and it went real sideways there because that's all they wanted me to do. And I had felt to myself that, you know what, I'm not gonna play that game, you know. And I should have been stronger. I should have just done what they did and asked for a trade at the end of the year. But
Yeah.
I went the wrong way, you know. Got too happy with the bottle, and I tried to use that as you know, just to make me not think about it.
Well, that's a Brian Sutter type coach. And all the Sutter boys did that. Did you like have conversations with him, on off days saying like, "Hey, like listen, I've been in the league 5 years now," or was he just a hard ass, hard nosed guy and you couldn't even approach him?
He's just a hard ass, hard nosed guy. Yeah. Hey, I mean, I have all the respect for him in the
Yep.
world as a player, because I got to play against him at the end of his career. And I mean, he's the guy that would play in a mom and pop game and run his mom just to get the puck from her. You
Yeah.
know, that's just the way. And he doesn't understand why everybody doesn't play exactly the way he does.
Yep.
And so But before the Calgary game, the day before the Calgary game, I mean, the team that I just got traded from, and he says to me, he says, "There's got to be somebody on that team you don't like, and I want you to beat them up." And I'm like, "You know what? There isn't somebody on that team that I don't like,
Yeah.
because that group in Calgary was just a great bunch of guys, and I mean, probably 4 or 5 Hall of Fame guys. I mean." And it right then and there, I just thought, you know what, this is just not going to go the right way.
It's
So,
funny how like a coach really does just change the vibe of the whole team, because you guys had some talent in St. Louis. Like you got a young Brett Hall, a Federko, a Cliff Ron, like that's Peter Zez, like you have a good team, and you guys didn't really succeed that much to the point where like you traded Mike Bullard, I think, midseason just because you didn't mesh with the coach and the system. Like this is the big guy you got in the Doug Gilmore piece, and you take him out of the lineup.
No, we did have some good hockey players, but he again, I don't want to
Oh
sit here
yeah.
and crap all over him, but it was his first year, and he didn't get along basically with anybody. I
Yeah.
mean, he said one time to us in the dressing room, and I don't know if I should even say this, but he said, "You know what? If you want, I'll take any one of you in my office. We'll turn the lights out, and we'll see who walks out of the office."
You should have
I
been like,
mean,
let's go.
we had some pretty tough guys there. I mean, I was there. Dave Richter was there. Todd Ewing was there. I mean, we had some heavy hitters, and he's basically just telling us we're just not worth shit.
He's trying to
So,
challenge you. That's wild. I've never heard of anything like that. Like, let's go bring it on. So it
yeah.
doesn't work in St. Louis, and you end up in Vancouver again, which must have been a breath of fresh air to go back to Vancouver, see some familiar faces.
It was great. I was really happy when I got back to Vancouver, and I enjoyed it there. Enjoyed the city. Enjoyed the team. The coaches were good guys. They didn't, they didn't take an interest in me as a player like they did in Calgary, but they treated me well. And excuse me, they treated me well, and I was real happy to be back there.
Gosh, I tell you, one guy you played with for a long time who doesn't get his due is Garth Butcher. He is one of
Strangler,
the
yeah.
nicest guy I've ever met in my whole life, and he's a hell of a hockey player. What was it like playing with a guy like that who just put up some impressive numbers in the NHL?
Yeah, Butchie was awesome. I got to room with him a lot on the road. We got pretty close, and he was just a great guy. A really, really good guy, and he tried so many times to, to help me with things away from hockey. Because he says, "Coxie," he says, you go out and you spend all your money trying to treat everybody, and these people aren't your friends. They're just around you because they want your money." And I just wouldn't listen to him, and I wish I did, but he was Butchie was a great guy. He was, I mean, one of the best all around players that I'd ever got to play with, because he had the skill, but he was also a tough guy also, and
No,
he could do it all.
he was
Yeah,
an
he could do
all-around
it all.
guy. So you finish up your NHL career. I want to talk about who's the toughest guys that you fought, because it's a list of who's who. When you played in the show, you played over 200 games. Is there one guy where you're like, damn, like that's a tough son of a gun?
I would have to say, geez, it's I mean, it's hard to just pick one. There's a guy in Calgary that I can't remember his name right now. He was a little bit older than I was. He was a Golden Gloves boxer away from the game.
Is it Barazan?
I've been hitting the head too many times. I have a tough time remembering some of this stuff, but I can't believe I can't even remember his name right now. Played for the Rangers for a lot
It's
of
oh, it's
years.
Fodiu, Nick
There
Fodiu?
you go, Nick Vitillo.
Patillo, yeah.
Nick Vitillo was probably the toughest guy, because when I fought him, we stood back, I was ready to go, and all of a sudden he's coming at me with both hands at the same time, and I'm like, "What is going on here?" Luckily enough, when he hit me one time, I was right next to the board, so I didn't go down, and I was able to get a couple in on him. But he was one tough guy. I mean, Dave, what can you say about Dave Brown, Probert, and Kosher? Those guys are all unbelievable players. I mean, all unbelievable fighters. So, yeah.
And then after you're done with San Jose, and I'm looking at your hockey DB, it's like, it's where in the world is Craig Cox for a good 8 years, where you go from Milwaukee to Kalamazoo to Kansas City to Cincinnati to Tulsa? What was like, what's that like, and what's going through your mindset? Because I had that opportunity, but my wife said, we're not doing it. She made me settle down because I wanted to keep playing. But you did it. Was that enjoyable for you? And I just an honest answer, because you were moving around a lot, and sometimes that's tough on a guy who plays our position.
Well, luckily, when I got down into the minors, I didn't. I mean, they weren't looking at me just to fight all the time. I actually got to. I got to play, and that part of it was fun. I mean, I got to. I got to enjoy the game again. You know, I mean, I wish I would have been doing it at a higher level. And if I was with my wife when I was still playing the NHL, I probably would have played a lot longer. You know, but unfortunately, I met her later on, and she would have helped me stay grounded. She's done so much for me since we've been married. We've been married now for 18 years, and I wish I would have met her earlier in my life, but unfortunately I didn't. But it was a lot of fun. That's I didn't have a family, I didn't have a wife, so it was easy for me to move. You know, no animals, nothing like that. So I just wanted to continue playing hockey. I
And you
just.
put up some points. I'm looking here, you got 88 points with the Tulsa Oilers in 64 games. Like, that's, I haven't gotten 88 points in my whole career combined. Like, that's an incredible amount, Craig. Like, that's fun. You're right. So you're just having fun playing hockey and living the dream almost.
Somebody wants to pay me to play. I just want to keep playing.
And something my wife told me, because I've been married now for, gosh, it might be 15, 16 years. My wife told me if I would have met you, when you were playing or in college, we would have never gotten married. So maybe it was a blessing that she didn't meet you, because you guys maybe would have never gotten married. Who knows how things work out.
It's funny you say that because I joke with my wife about that sometimes. And she says to me, she goes, because my wife's from Michigan. And I said to her, well, it's too bad I didn't, you know, after the game in Detroit when I
Oh,
got the two
yeah.
fights and all that, we would have met, you know, it would have been nice to have met you. And she goes, I don't think I would have liked you. I think you're a little bit arrogant back then. So she jokes with me about that all the time. Says, yeah, you wouldn't have had a chance with me. You know, so
That's so,
it
it's the truth. It's the honest to God truth. You would have been thinking you were
is.
hot shit, and she'd have been like, beat it. I don't want to talk to you. Well, anyways, one last thing, Craig. What's your best memory from your playing days? Because you've obviously done a lot. You've accomplished stuff people dream of. Is there one thing that stands out? It's like, yeah, that's something I just enjoy thinking of.
You know what? It might sound a little corny and all, but I scored my first NHL goal in LA with my parents and my brothers and sisters in the stands.
That's not corny. That's cool.
And that was something really, really special. And the funny part is when I got the goal, it was a little after the halfway through the third period. It put us up by a goal. And in the last 2 minutes, one of the guys on our team took a penalty. They end up scoring on the power play, and the game ended up being well. When the game was over, I go up to meet my family in the parking lot, and my dad says, "I want to go to have a little chat with that guy that took that penalty at the end of the there." My dad goes, "Your first goal could have been a game-winning goal, you
That's so
know."
funny, though, to be able to do it in front of your dad. Does your dad, did he, well, because he's from Canada, so he grasped the immensity of playing in the NHL, and the fact that you made it from California. There's not a lot of guys that did it in that era, so he must know how special it was for you to have the career that you did.
Yeah, it's. I mean, me and my dad are very close, and you know, he's everywhere that I played, he always at least once a year came to where I was to watch me play, and he just yeah he's ecstatic that I was able to accomplish what I did.
And now you're just the best guy in Northern Michigan running a rink. And you get recognized all the time? Do you have to sit down and tell stories, or are you just kind of a keep to yourself type guy?
I do get recognized quite a bit, but you know, everybody always wants to talk the same story, you know, Provert and Kosher, Provert and
Oh,
Kosher.
it's
I says,
trust
you
me.
know, I
I
try to
didn't want
tell
to
him, I says,
ask you
you know,
that. I was just like, okay, get it out of the way.
No, it's okay. I mean, everybody, I got no problem talking about it, but I always joke with them and say, you know, I scored a goal in that game. Nobody ever asked me
Nobody cares
that.
about your goals, Craig. Get out of here. Nobody cares. But it is neat to hear you talk about Calgary and how they actually invested in you as a player and how that was the best spot that you felt. Because I had that with Chicago when they sent me to Switzerland to go to a skating coach, and I'm like, man, they actually like think I'm a hockey player. And what that does to you as a person, just because they think you're more than just a meathead who goes out and throws your fists around.
Yep, I agree. It's nice to play for a team like that. It really is.
Yeah, and you mentioned all the Hall of Famers. Could you tell? And how, like, when you left and got traded, you were like, damn, like, this team's gonna win it all. Like, you could just get that vibe in that room.
I did because the year that I got traded there, we ended up with the best record in the NHL that year, and we lost out in the second round to Edmonton, and that was Gretzky's last year in Edmonton. So I knew, okay, we're not going to win it this year, but we're right there, especially with the team we had, I mean, Lanny McDonald, Hock and Lube, the goaltending we had. I mean, the team had it all,
Yeah,
Jody
Nieuwendyk and Mullen
Mullen.
and McInnes, and like
Yeah.
it's insane. It's a who's who of that. Like, it's incredible the guys you had on your team. But gosh, the same thing happened to me where I was with Chicago. I got traded, and they won the cup the very next year.
Yeah, it's a bummer being that close and not getting it, isn't it?
It stings a little bit because in the real, like realistically, we wouldn't have changed the games too much. Or I know I wouldn't have. I probably would have been a healthy scratch. But it's just like. Missed the ring by that much. It's frustrating, but I don't know. Anyways, I just saw the view you have of Lake Michigan. I just saw, everything you got. You're doing pretty well. I think you should be happy with how your career ended, but I just want to say thank you for joining the show. I know you're busy. Thank you so much. This was a great talk, Craig.
Hey John, it was great to talk to you again. Hopefully I'll get to see you next time I'm up in Traverse City. I'd love for you to meet my wife and
Oh.
be able to meet your family. I is it true that you got eight daughters?
It is true. The word travels. The word travels. Yeah, I got eight girls. So it's they
The
would love to have you around.
guy that I remember I told you I met a guy from Traverse City at my rink there a couple of weeks ago, and he goes,
Yeah.
John's got I says, has he got any kids? And he goes, yeah. I says, any of them play hockey? He goes, he's got eight girls. I says, no. He goes, yes, he does.
It doesn't mean they don't play hockey, but no, they
That's
skate.
true.
But yeah,
Yeah,
they
that's
skate in the
true.
backyard rink. But yeah, I got eight girls, and they're all the oldest is 13. So one day we'll get them playing. So, but yeah, it's we're busy. We're busy down here, Craig.
I can imagine that's going to keep you and your wife very busy. Yeah,
They
absolutely.
keep us young or make us old. I don't know how it works. But anyways, yeah, if you're in Traverse, let me know. I'd love to take you out for a beer and chop it up. That'd be fantastic, man.
Sounds good, John. Thank you very, very much again for reaching out to me.
Oh,
I really
gosh. Yeah,
appreciate
thanks for
it.
jumping on. Craig Cox, everybody. Have a good one. Cheers.